everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. It's all about food. Say that with me. It's all about food. Thank you for joining me. It's really lovely to be here. I'm actually in the PRN studio today, Progressive Radio Network, and it's a new space. I haven't been in this one before. They recently moved. I'm glad to be here, and I wanted to just mention, as I mentioned last week, I'm celebrating this week my 8th anniversary here at Progressive Radio Network. I want to thank everybody here at the station for helping me along the way in the last 8 years to bring you some great programming about my favorite subject, food. And I also want to thank all of the volunteers along the way at Responsible Eating and Living, my nonprofit, which you can find at responsibleeatingandliving.com, who have transcribed almost all of the programs we've done here at the Progressive Radio Network, the It's All About Food show, since March 25th, 2009, when I began. And you can access all of them and read the transcripts if you don't have a chance to listen to the entire audio program or scan it for some information you're looking for. That's what I do all the time, and I'm really grateful to have that digital library. Thanks to all who have made that possible, and thanks to all of you who are listening and who are interested and as passionate as I am about getting the truth and tools for health, wellness, and green living. That's what I'm about. Okay, let's start with my first guest today, and I am very happy to bring on Kim Campbell, who is part of the Whole Foods plant-based dynasty started by Dr. T. Colin Campbell, my colleague and friend. She's the daughter-in-law of Dr. Campbell and considered by many as the science father, that's Dr. Campbell, of the rapidly growing plant-based nutrition movement. You knew that. She works with her husband, Nelson, in a health and wellness business promoting a whole food plant-based diet. Kim holds a bachelor's degree from Cornell University in human service studies with a minor in nutrition and child development. And she's the author of The Plant Pure Kitchen and The Plant Pure Nation Cookbook. And we're going to be talking about some very delicious things. Welcome to It's All About Food. Kim, thanks for joining me.
Hi, Karen. Thank you for having me. And congratulations on that 8th year.
Thank you. It was, you know, I think life's all about learning. And when the opportunity came up and I took this opportunity, it was very daunting the first time I sat in this studio and talked for an hour by myself, not knowing who was there.
Yeah, that's true. I talk into video cameras a lot and there's nobody on the other side. So I feel your pain on that one.
Yeah, it's a very different thing when you're not getting feedback or you're not familiar with how to feel the feedback or imagine the feedback. But anyway, I've gotten used to it.
Human connections are important, and it's nice to be able to lay your eyes on the person, which is a challenge in your world. But
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm going to be talking in the next part of this show with Pamela Rice, and we're going to be talking about the Veggie Pride Parade that's coming up here in Manhattan. And I was talking to her earlier about how wonderful the internet is, because we can connect with so many more people than we can at any small event. But there's nothing like meeting people one-on-one and feeling that energy.
Yes, I agree. I agree. So I'm in this profession, but my prior profession was teaching. So I was very connected with people every day. So my life has changed tremendously because of that.
Well, I'm glad to have you on the program. It's my goal to get all of the Campbell royal family on this program. I've talked to Colin many times and Tom as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to have you on the program.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. So the first thing about, we're going to be talking about your Plant Pure Kitchen, a wonderful cookbook with some fabulous recipes. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I noticed was the foreword, which was by Dr. Campbell, and I loved how he humbly talked about how he's somewhat lost in the kitchen, actually, and here is someone who has educated so many of us about healthy eating.
Yeah. We'll keep Colin to the science. We'll keep him to what he does best. But yeah, he wrote a wonderful foreword, and he's one of my biggest fans. And eats in our kitchen, and we eat there. And you know, we're a pretty tight knit family, so it's wonderful to have him to be able to write the foreword, because who else would know my food better than him?
Absolutely, and all of you have done such wonderful work helping those of us who want the information to get it and get healthy in such a delicious way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's talk about the Plant Pure Nation. Who are they, and how did they get started?
Well, about 6 years ago, Nelson did a jump start. Nelson and I did a jump start together. We hired a chef in our community, and we put people on a meal plan for 10 days, essentially, and they received three meals. So they were getting 30 different meals. It was a really sort of a daunting task, but we did the biometrics prior to the jump start and then post. So the very first one we did, we had phenomenal results, and we didn't really know what we were going to get in 10 days because, you know, you never know. But when we got their blood lipids back, we were amazed. So, you know, we continued to do jump starts, and I didn't jump in as the lead culinary person in the beginning because I just didn't have the confidence that I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we hired someone to kind of work with me. And that really developed my confidence, and then I realized that I did know a lot about food and wanted to be a resource for our Jumpstart participants that went through and had such great success. So that's when I started writing cookbooks, right when Nelson was working on the film. So about, I don't know how many Jumpstarts later, but we started, Nelson started working on the film and made a proposal to the Kentucky legislature, and I won't give the movie away. I don't know if you've seen the movie.
I have. It's great.
Okay. Yeah. And so, you know, from there, we knew that we couldn't sustain fresh jump starts because it was really, really difficult on this end. So we decided to create frozen food. So that's what we have now, is we have a frozen line and a dry line. So people can still do jump starts through Plant Pure Nation. They can still get education. It's wonderful, and it comes right to their doorstep. And it's never been so easy because, like you said, we can do everything online, and that's kind of what we've tried to put together.
Okay, I want to cover two things that you've hit on, and one is something really important, and that is confidence in the kitchen and confidence in preparing food. I know so many people feel very insecure and very foreign in a kitchen, and it's very intimidating to them to the point where they just stay away. And so how have you found people develop more confidence in the kitchen? And I mean, I imagine that's part of the success of the program. Is everyone just buying your meals?
Right. Well, when we were doing jump starts here, we were doing cooking classes along with that. So you're right. Some people are wonderful cooks, but they don't know it. And I think I'm a good cook, and I didn't really know it except because my family was telling me I was a great cook, but I didn't hear it from other people. So when people come to my classes, it's amazing how much they learn and how much they share together. And I learn from people. So I think just getting out there and taking culinary classes, exposing yourself to other cooks, and realizing that, you know, you really, most people do have knowledge, even if they say they don't know how to cook. And I know my father-in-law says he doesn't know how to cook, but I bet he could cook a pretty good meal if you asked him to. I think people just need to get in and do it, and they need to work together. So creating that community and the education around it.
Now, the other part I wanted to talk about are these meals that you've talked about that are frozen or dry that people can get. And I was talking last week with my friend Alan Rodinger, who is a chef, and he's part of a program that delivers meals to people. And this is something that's really popular these days because people are starting to understand the value of a home cooked meal, and it's for myself, I have this knee jerk reaction against all this stuff because I can't imagine it doing it myself, but I understand for many people who have these insecurities and lack the knowledge, it's a great transition way to familiarize themselves with the ingredients and how to put things together.
I agree with you. I think that people in our society really need to reconnect with their food, you know, from the time at which we grow it to harvesting it, to preparing it. But that's not reality for a lot of people. But I think as people start to feel better and they see the benefits, the health benefits they get from it, then they start to want to connect with the food. So, you know, if we can provide the food in the beginning so that they begin to feel better and then they gradually want to get in the kitchen, you know, it's amazing how many people become great chefs and cooks after this message kind of resonates with them. So that's what we're hoping, is that people will use the food to kind of jump into it and then hopefully become independent, you know, independent in terms of preparing their food. You know, there's always going to be those few people that will eat frozen food the rest of their life.
That's right.
I'm not one of them, but I think it's a great way to kind of jump into health.
And, you know, there's a lot of frozen food that's really good and good for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think frozen food is great. You know, when I say that, I mean, I don't know if we'd want to eat it every day. I wouldn't want to eat it every day. But, you know, Nelson and I keep it in the freezer because oftentimes we'll carry it to lunch or I'm not home and he'll have it. So we wanted also to have ongoing support for people who went through a jump start. And we didn't want them to fall off the wagon. So having that food that's prepared and, you know, easy to grab is also really important. And it's good food. Our food is really good. It's, you know, there's no oil in it. It's minimal salts and sugars. And I think there's a lot of variety in it. So I personally really like it, but maybe it's because a lot of them are my recipes as well.
So you personally, how long have you been on this whole food plant-based journey?
Yeah, I'm glad you said journey, because I didn't wake up and become plant-based. When I was in high school, I was always interested in health and nutrition. So, and I met Nelson in high school. So that was when I started to, you know, dabble with being a vegetarian. And then I got to know the Campbells, and Colin was doing his research in China. And Nelson and I continued to be together throughout high school. So, you know, we sort of did that journey together because the Campbells weren't 100% plant-based at that time either.
Right.
They were sort of transitioning away from it. I don't think it was until we had the children that we decided we had to get more serious, more strict about it. It wasn't hard because we were almost there. You know, you're almost there. And we just, you know, got rid of any little block of cheese that was in the back of the refrigerator or that little bit of yogurt that you had.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, I mean, we thought at the time that we were doing things really healthy, and we kind of laugh about now looking back and seeing where we were on our journey then. That's why I always tell people, don't beat yourself up, because you'll get better the more you do it.
That's exactly what I wanted to talk about, because I started this whole thing when I was 15. I decided I didn't want to eat animals, and it wasn't until I was 30 that I became vegan, and I've always been on a path for health. And there have been foods that I truly, sincerely believed were the best things I could possibly eat. And now I know maybe they weren't. You know, you mentioned yogurt. I remember putting wheat germ on everything. And
yep.
There were just so many foods. And now, so are these foods trending? Or are we learning? I like to think that we're learning more and we're becoming more knowledgeable, but it'll be interesting to see what's hot in 10 years.
You know what I think's challenging now compared to, you know, 20 years ago? We didn't have the processed vegan products that are out there now, so I didn't have to sift through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I enjoyed cooking, so I was always preparing food, but now there are so many products that one of the things I teach in my classes is how to read labels. how to read labels and, you know, determine if, in fact, it's a vegan product, if it's high fat, if it's got a lot of sodium. And then people get so confused, you know, how do I do this? There's, you know, there's so many things to consider. So I just think it's more challenging with all the processed foods that are out there now. They can be convenient, but they can also be a disaster, too.
Absolutely, and it really depends on where you're coming from. For me, I came from a vegan place. I didn't want to eat animals, and so I imagine people realizing what's going on with the treatment of animals today and wanting to eat vegan, and they hit the stores and they see all these vegan products. It's a disaster. I mean, there's so many of them, and they're just not healthy foods.
Yeah, and I think that I really think that people should do it for two reasons. Three: the environment, the animals, and the health. You know, for your health. I mean, it all just sort of folds together nicely.
Yeah.
I don't think one is necessarily more important than the other.
Well, the good thing is there's no reason not to do it. It's right for all reasons.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you have some great tips in the book. Let's jump into this new book of yours, The Plant Pure Kitchen. Mm-hmm. And you have some great tips. I really appreciated you mentioning cleaning out the refrigerator once a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Right, because I think if you clean it out and you keep it organized, for me anyways, it motivates me to prepare food, because when you don't know what's in there and how long it's been in there, it's just you don't even want to go there.
Yep.
So, and I do think there's going to be... When you eat fresh vegetables, because a lot of people will say, well, I end up throwing out greens, I throw out this. Well, you're probably not eating enough of it. But,
exactly.
There is going to be more wastage because you are eating fresh produce. And so, you know, things will wilt and go bad. But I tell people, freeze things. You know, if you don't think you're going to eat all those onions and they're going to go to root, then freeze them. So I don't think people use their freezer enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm quite obsessive about not wasting food, and the handful of times I have wasted food, it's been a heartbreak and very painful to me. But I'm constantly taking inventory and moving around and seeing what needs to go next and putting it in something.
Right, exactly. And I think that's all part of keeping your refrigerator clean and organized and knowing what you have and eating it, because if it gets packed, things shoved in the back and you don't even know it's there, and then the next thing you know it's rotten. So but I think too, cleaning out your refrigerator and your pantry is a way of you know, jumping on board and deciding that you're going to make this journey. I know a lot of people don't like to take everything out of the pantry that's unhealthy in the beginning, because what if I need that can of cream of mushroom soup or you know, that box of cereal or crackers? But if it's out of your pantry, you're not going to be tempted. So start over again and get the products that are healthy, and whole grains and beans and things like that. So same thing with the refrigerator. Clean it out and start new.
You know, these are just basic life lessons, I think, and being mindful about everything that's going on in your life. And I know we're all busy, but I believe we find some peace, some serenity from being mindful and being organized, because clutter everywhere gets into the clutter in the brain, and it can't be good.
Yeah, that's so true. I've raised three kids, so I know that. And now they're all gone, and I find my refrigerator is more empty than it's ever been.
The empty refrigerator syndrome.
It's all good. You know, they actually have worked with us, a couple of them. In fact, my daughter, Whitney, helped to write a lot of the educational material for Plant Pure Kitchen. She kind of kept me straight about what goes where, and one chart she did that was really good was the gluten-free chart, because she said so many people want that. And so much of the cookbook was already gluten-free, and what wasn't gluten-free, she wanted to be able to guide people to that path. So she was wonderful. And my son did all the photography, and he did a fabulous job. He was intimidated about it, because our first photographer for Plant Pure Nation was really good. So, but it was fun to work with the kids. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, he did an excellent job. Those are stunning photographs.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well done.
And they actually, now that they've worked on the second book, they really had an appreciation for what I went through on the first book, because that was sort of the blind leading the blind. You don't realize all that goes into a cookbook until your kitchen looks like Thanksgiving every day for a month.
Yep. I'm there. We just created 8 new recipes last week and did the recipes and then cleaned everything up and photographed them. It was a major marathon, and that was just for 8. But the nice thing is then you get to eat everything you've made over the week.
Eat it and share it and give it away.
And put it in the freezer.
Yep, put it in the freezer if you have space. That's so true. And I've had people say, oh, your recipes are too big. What do I do with all this food? Freeze it, because most of it freezes really well.
Okay, speaking of freezing.
Our freezer's packed, and we usually have something we can pull out at any time.
Let's talk about storage of food now that you're talking about freezing.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciated your section on storage of food, because it really is important to store food.
Right.
And
right.
Have the right stuff to do that.
Mm-hmm. I like to freeze things in the freezer with Pyrex dishes.
Me
as opposed
too.
To all the plastic.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know what the plastic does in the freezer, and sometimes you don't know what it does when you heat it up. So I tend to put parchment paper over the top and then just seal it, and that seems to work really well. I haven't had anything break. In the refrigerator, you can pre-chop a lot of things, but there's some things you just can't. So making sure that you wrap, your lettuce in a paper towel to keep it dry so it doesn't get slimy and moldy. There are definitely some techniques for keeping food a little longer.
I'm making a note here for myself for the double P technique, Pyrex and parchment paper. Pyrex
yep.
and parchment paper. It's wonderful. I'm a big fan of Pyrex, and I put everything in it. And if I don't put it in Pyrex, I have a big jar collection from mm-hmm. certain kind of foods. We use South River miso, and it comes in this wonderful glass jar. And I save all of those glass jars, and they're great for storage, too.
Yes, I love glass jars. No, we have a Hot Logic machine. So when people buy the frozen meals, they have an option to buy the Hot Logic machine, which is this really cool looking, almost looks like a lunchbox. It's got a little induction warmer. You plug it in. Takes about 90 minutes to heat up a rock solid frozen meal. And those are nice. If you store your meals, I like to store them by servings. Because sometimes, Nelson just wants to grab something and we don't want to pull a great big pan of something out. And you can put those Pyrex dishes into the Hot Logic machine individually, and he has lunch. And the nice thing about them is it's like it just came out of the oven. The microwave, I don't know. I just don't like the way the food tastes when it comes out of the microwave. It's hot and it's watery and just doesn't have the same flavor.
Hot Logic, that's good to know. I didn't know about that. Hot Logic. Excellent.
Those are wonderful for leftovers, for frozen. And, we had one participant who said she kept hers in for, I don't know, about 18 hours, and she said it was great. it was still really good. So it's kind of, I think of it like a crock pot almost.
I get it. Okay, let's talk about some of the recipes. So as I was looking at your recipes, I had this funny thing happen. It was funny to me. I don't know if it'll be funny to anybody else. But the first recipe was chai quinoa porridge, which looked mm-hmm. wonderful. I love anything chai with those seasonings. And right after that was the chia seed pudding. And for some reason, I never realized that chai and chia have the same letters in them, and I was reading it chia quinoa porridge, and I couldn't find any chia in your list of ingredients. Because there weren't any.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, chai and chia. Chia chai.
I'm sort of a simple breakfast person. We tend to eat a lot of granolas and mason jars. I make my own yogurt, which is not in the cookbook, but we tend to do a lot of really simple, quick breakfast, and so there's a lot of that in the cookbook.
Okay, the one fun recipe that I found was the fishless fillets.
Oh, funny you say that. That's one of my favorites.
I'm not surprised.
You remember when you were a kid and you'd get those those fried fish sticks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, my mother never bought them, so it was a treat when we got them. And I thought, how can we make those into sticks? So I used artichokes, and it has chickpeas in it, and it's got oats. I think they're gluten-free as well. So, and it has the seaweed. I used the nori sheets to kind of implement that sort of fish flavor to it. And that's a really popular dish. It's kind of a lot like the crab cakes from the first cookbook, and I don't call them crab cakes. I think I call them zucchini cakes.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that sort of taste of the sea.
Absolutely, and just that whole combination of textures and breading and a nice finger food sometimes if you want to pick it up and dip it. It's really wonderful.
Yep.
I like it.
One of my favorite recipes from the new book is the pad thai. I spent a lot of time trying to get that sauce just perfect. Sauces, to me, make every dish better. So I put a lot of sauces in my cookbooks because I'm a big proponent of build-a-bowl style meals. So if you have sauces in your refrigerator and you stick them in mason jars, you're much more likely to be able to put together a meal in 10 or 15 minutes.
I'm there with you. And, you know, people love sauce and people love gooey, runny things that they can pour over things or put in a sandwich. I mean, that's the fun part of eating. And sauces just can make the difference. You can put it on absolutely anything.
And the challenge is making them oil-free. So I like that challenge, though. And now it doesn't even cross my mind to use oil, because I use things like seeds and nuts and tofu and avocado, beans. There's a lot of ways you can incorporate that creamy texture to a sauce or a dish.
I love it so much better. And like I like to say on this program, number one, you don't know how good you can feel until you've started eating all plants. And the other thing is, when you've eliminated oil or most of the oil and go get your fat from these whole food sources like nuts and seeds and making these creamy dressings, oily food just tastes oily. Mm-hmm. And that's not a good thing.
It's interesting how you can catch it a lot quicker, too. I've had people say, wow, I really noticed the oil that, you know, people mm-hmm. use in restaurants. You really don't notice it until you go off of it. It's kind of like sugar and salt. You know, once you reduce those, then you really notice it when you eat something salty. It's the same thing with oil.
Well, Kim, I wanted to thank you for joining me, and it's all about food, and for writing your book, Plant Pure Kitchen, and for all that you've been doing for our growing plant pure nation. And thanks for all the delicious recipes. Check out Plant Pure Kitchen. It's wonderful.
Thanks for all you do. I listen to your podcast, so
I really appreciate
your shows and all of the food topics that you cover.
Okay, well, say hello to Colin and Karen and Nelson and everybody over in the Campbell clan.
Okay, well, thank you, Karen.
Okay, take care. That was Kim Campbell, the author of a new cookbook, Plant Pure Kitchen, and it's really good. It reminds me, actually, of a lot of the food we eat at home. A whole food plant-based kitchen is really the way to go. I believe it's the most delicious way to eat and the healthiest. We're going to take a little break and then talk with Pamela Rice. We'll be right back. Everybody, I'm back. Yes, that's right. I'm back. That was a quick break. And now I want to bring on my second guest. Very, very excited about this because this is a super califragilistic expialidocious super person. Pamela Rice is joining me in the second part of this program. I heard a little giggle by Pamela. She's the author of 101 Reasons Why I'm a Vegetarian, now enjoying its 25th year anniversary. Long known as The Mighty Convincer, 101 Reasons is also available in book form from the wonderful Lantern Books Publishing Company. We love them. Ms. Rice is the publisher of the erstwhile Aviva Vine, and is the organizer of numerous veg events, including the annual Veggie Pride Parade, which we will be talking about a lot today, and post-parade rally expo in New York City, soon to be celebrating on April 2nd, its 10th year anniversary. Pamela also ran the Veggie Center of New York City for 16 years. She's answered a mini mountain of mail and has taken many thousands of phone calls over the years from inquisitive people about the vegan lifestyle. Much of the snail mail she received is now bound up in decorative notebooks. Pamela calls these her ephemera project. Hi, Pamela.
Hi, Karen.
You know, I don't know why. I must have thought of this before, but your last name is an appropriate name for a vegan.
I guess it is.
Do you like rice?
Absolutely.
I've kind of moved to the colorful black and red rices lately.
Absolutely. Well, nothing like takeout. That's how I mostly get my rice, tell you the truth.
Yeah, well, fortunately, where we live, there's a lot of places that offer rice, and more of those fast food takeout Chinese places offer brown rice these days. Yes. So you can make some pretty informed, healthy choices, no matter where you are.
Absolutely. Yes. It's not always the sauce. Speaking of sauces, that's the killer. That's where you got can with takeout. It can be your downfall. So it is better to cook yourself. No question about it. You can keep that fat to a minimum.
Yes, I remember. Who was it who made recommendations about if you're going to buy takeout? From Chinese restaurant, for example, get the sauce on the side, and then when you come home or you eat it, you don't have to use all of it. You can use a little of it. A little goes a long way.
Take it home.
And use it for a long time. Because,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's not too good. Okay. Well, anyway, Pamela, you are one of the four people... Instead of forefathers, one of the four persons in this vegan movement. You have been there for so long, creating these double-sided pieces of paper called the 100 Reasons that ultimately became a book. And you probably have no idea how many people you've reached, or maybe you do have an idea. But...
No, I don't. I don't really have any number. There are about 225,000 that were actually printed, ink on paper, and all but about, at this point, about seven cases that I still have left to fulfill orders. All but those all got out there. A lot of people photocopied them.
Exactly, that was going to say.
I wasn't always happy about that. I was happy about that.
Of course you were. People had to spread this information.
I saw a lot of photocopies, to tell you the truth.
Yep.
And then, of course, it's online. It's been online since the 90s. I was lucky enough to run into a couple of people who turned me on to something called the Internet. And they said, you need to get this up online. And I go, all right. Give it away free? Yeah, okay, no problem. Anyway, it's been up there since the mid-90s, so that's a long time, too.
That's a long time. We've been doing this a long time.
All the editions, in fact. You can, I'm looking here on the most recent one. It's the 9th edition. So I would change things up a lot. So you really, it's really more like 1,000 reasons at this point, because... Of all the new reasons that got plugged in, and I this most recent one is almost completely new, so I actually just throw out old reasons, put in new ones, but it's always 101 reasons.
Okay, well, you know, people can only digest so much in a small amount of time. It can be overwhelming, but I think
that's why these are all in soundbite form.
Yes.
Each one of these are like 90 words, each one. So, and the method, the way I wrote it was, extremely succinct. Not one word is superfluous, because I felt I had to fit a lot on the page. And so, right to the point.
Yeah. So now we're at 140 character tweets.
I'm not a big tweeter, yeah. But I do it.
Yes, it's time to tweet.
We have a Twitter for Veggie Pride Parade.
Yes.
So we have about 1,500 people there.
Very good. Well, I linked to you today in my tweet for this show.
Oh, boy. I will retweet.
Yes, please. Love and retweet. Let's just keep going back at each other. Let's talk about the 10th year anniversary of the Veggie Pride Parade. Woo-hoo!
Yeah, I'm just about as dumbfounded about that fact as anyone.
10 years.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about putting on an event, okay? No one has any idea unless they've done it.
Like you have?
Like I have for 5 years, the Taste of Health at Lincoln Center, which was probably, I don't know, but at the time it was probably the largest vegan event anywhere and an amazing thing. And I have no idea how I did it, and I would never want to do it again.
Well, you got to... Just the big thing is when you do these things is when somebody says jump, like the city, the parks department, and they need a piece of paper, they need a notarized document, and they need it today, and you just have to get used to dropping everything and doing that one thing. And if you're not prepared to do that, then you better find another occupation.
Yeah, but that's just the beginning. And dealing with the Parks Department is not the easiest thing. I don't know if it's gotten any easier over the years, but...
They tend to add more red tape every single year. If I had kept a diary, I really believe that absolutely every single year they added something. The first year it was underground. It was like they didn't ask for anything. They didn't ask for a bond. They didn't ask for insurance. They didn't ask for...
Wow.
Anything. And then as years went by, there was always something added. Absolutely.
Okay, so we've got the 10th coming up on April 2nd. And
Sunday.
Oh my God, it's Sunday. And how's the weather looking? Because the last few years, the weather has been just chilling.
Yeah, the weather, that's a sore point with me. It's an outdoor event, and I think a lot of people just didn't get that fact. We're outdoors, and we're outdoors for a reason, because I would say the number one top numero uno reason for the whole event is visibility and viability, the two V's.
I'm with you on that.
And if you want an indoor event, that's fine. You know, you have a conference and you can do everything indoors. Unfortunately, you are not visible there. People have to seek you out. They don't happen upon you. So we're at the north end of Union Square Park, which is an extremely well visited place by people. I mean, there's just many, many people who come through. So they see us, and they see us on the street. And what I have seen over the years is that there are more and more iPhones and Samsung phones pointed at us throughout the parade. I mean, it's the most recent one. It was just a whole bank of people. And those people, let's hope they are posting those videos and those photographs to their own social media.
Well, I think it takes a lot of courage to find out about changing your lifestyle, which includes what you eat, especially as you get older, and to find out the information and seek it out. It takes courage. So to have an event that is in a public place where you can just casually stroll through, you don't have to make any commitments, just kind of pick up some information, can be very profound.
Well, that's where the viability thing comes
in. That's why I agree it's important to have these outdoor free events.
It's you ask, just walk down an avenue in New York and you just grab a person and say, what do you think about veganism or vegetarianism? And they will just, what will come out of their mouth will be, you know, just very typical, opinions and platitudes. And they will say that I'd be afraid to become a vegan or a vegetarian, you know, because there's so much propaganda on the other side. So that's where we have to say, you know, another thing that we're showing is our vegan culture, and that we have something behind us, so that people will sit up and listen, or sit up and take a look and say, hey, look at all those people over there. They're advocating for a lifestyle that I thought would make me drop dead in 2 weeks if I adopted it. So we're just trying to change the attitudes. It's all can be demoralizing at times when you think about all the propaganda against us.
Yeah, but we're winning, and we're growing in numbers, and the vegan word is now firmly planted in mainstream vocabulary in so many ways, and people are finding ways to profit from vegan products, and that's one important way to build the movement, making money from it. So let's talk about who's going to be at the parade, the rally, the expo, who the speakers are, and who's exhibiting, and what can we expect at the event?
Oh, wow. Well, I couldn't even, I mean, I to list it, I'm going to be posting, by the way, the PDF for the program guide probably in a couple days, probably Thursday evening. Mm-hmm. So people can really see everything. We've got you.
Oh,
of course, Karen Hartglass.
Wow.
You're a speaker and an exhibitor with...
I love hearing her speak.
Yeah. I love hearing her speak. She's the best. No question about it.
I'm just looking forward to good weather, because the last few times I talked, I was just bundled up in one of my giant coats. And it'll just be a little liberating if I'm not weighed down by so many layers.
Yeah, that's that old weather thing. Well, you know, we had the Women's March January 21, and nobody said a boo about the weather that day. I mean, it was a pretty nice day.
And I was just at the rally for women's rights in Forest Hills in my neighborhood in Queens on Sunday. It wasn't supposed to rain, and all of a sudden it was raining on us. It was cold. Nobody was dressed right.
Did anybody complain about the weather?
Well, people were mentioning it, but I was fired up. It was and this is the value of this kind of live event, because I was fired up by listening to all of my local leaders speaking and saying what I wanted to hear. And I just felt like, yes, we can.
Yes. Well, we vegans should, you know, I, to use a bad phrase, perhaps, man up, like up against this weather thing. Because anyway, we need to demonstrate. We need to get out there and be seen. All right. So we've got Vance Lemkuhl.
I love him. Is this his first time at the Veggie Pride Parade?
He's going to be there.
Has he been there before?
No. He's a new guy.
Yeah.
Vegan. He's a food writer and columnist from the Philadelphia Daily News.
He's witty and smart.
I love him.
Yep.
Excellent. And mainstay Karen Davis, who's been there every single year. And we have Marissa Miller Wolfson, who is the writer and director of Educated.
Oh, great. And
you bet. And all these are confirmed. Clifton Roberts, who actually lives in California.
Wow.
He was the first ever candidate for president of the United States on the Humane Party.
Wow. Excellent. What is he going to be talking about? Politics?
I don't care. I'm just happy he's there.
That's great.
And Mary Finelli, who I love, is
Fishfield.
President Fishfield.
And I first discovered her at the Veggie Pride Parade last year. I wouldn't have known about her if she wasn't speaking there.
You know, she really gives a nice talk. She gets right to the point, and she just lays out, you know, the points, and it's just too much truth, you know. It just, you know, her issue is gigantic.
Okay, one of the things that I love about the Veggie Pride Parade is the free samples and some of the food. Now, there are a lot of Parks Department rules, and we can't sell food, and the food thing has to be packaged and prepared.
Food. We can. That's one of the things that changed with the park.
Oh, good. You can sell food.
But but the only one who's going to legally do it is V-Spot. So then there were a lot of people are just going to give out different things, chips and health bars. And in that category, we have Cooley Foods. You probably never heard of them.
No.
But you're going to find out about them. They're a vegan food vendor like you're talking about, where people are discovering that there is money in veganism, and they're going to be a great example of that. They partner with people. They do gooder stuff. You'll see. So we have religious organizations, and then, you know, the big kingpins like Healthy Planet, Bob DiBenedetto, and American Vegan Society, Vegetarian Resource Group, and, of course, United Poultry Concerns with Karen Davis.
So there'll be opportunities to pick up literature, there'll be books and lots of information, and a great place to just go and hang out and either get some food from somewhere and listen to the speakers, because you'll have a space almost like a little theater. It's outdoors, of course, but people can sit and listen. Let's talk about the parade. Where does this start and where do you go?
Oh, yes.
And what do people do during the parade?
Well, we trust everybody that they're going to have a signboard that is on topic.
Uh-huh. Have you ever?
It, for the most part, has worked, save one or two over all these years. It starts, lineup is at 11 a.m., again, Sunday, April 2. At 9th Avenue and Gansevoort Street.
Where's that?
And that is in the Old Meat District.
Is that near the High Line?
It is, very mm-hmm. nearby.
Yeah, that I remember Gansevoort Street.
Very near the Standard Hotel.
Right.
Which maybe you're familiar with.
Yeah, that's a fun space, actually, the former meatpacking district.
It is.
It's so a fun spot.
That was a bit of a gimmick to try and get the media to, you know, use that as a hook or a lead to a story. But mainstream media has been very disappointing to us. They came out the first year, 2008, and we more or less haven't seen them since. They saw our signboards and they say, wow, this is a very important, these people are serious. These people have important issues. So they skedaddled right out of town.
Yeah.
Real fast.
Well, this is a hard sell, as we know, for many people who haven't had the veil lifted.
Don't get me started about the mainstream media.
No, I want to get started. Let's talk about the mainstream media.
Well,
I mean, that's one reason Progressive Radio Network is here, because of the mainstream media. We can't get the truth. We can't get what we need to hear from the mainstream.
Absolutely. They've fallen down on their job. And what's happened is that with the new technologies, just individuals can, you know, they just have to open their eyes and they see things that makes sense to them, to us, and we're broadcasting. We're on YouTube or, you know, Twitter and everybody. We're bypassing the mainstream media, and they don't like it. I can see that.
Hey, you know what makes the mainstream media?
What?
Stories like the By Chloe food chain. So Chloe Coscarelli is an adorable chef who was the first vegan to win one of the Food Network shows. She won the Vegan Cupcake Awards. The Cupcake Wars with vegan cupcakes, and that kind of launched her notoriety. And now she has a chain of vegan food restaurants called By Chloe.
Very familiar with it. And like I mentioned when we were speaking before, I know one of the primary financiers of her. And as far as I know, he's not a vegetarian or vegan, but I've had conversations with him, and all he talks about is how unbelievably lucrative and successful that chain is.
Okay.
And that he's opening new places and this and that.
So that's great. So why is it that the major investor or partner in this restaurant chain wanted to add non-vegan foods?
And that's a rhetorical question.
I think. And so she was like in some kind of legal dispute, and recently it was settled and she's out. My Chloe is separated from Chloe Coscarelli, the namesake.
They just cut off their arms and legs?
And that's what the mainstream media reports, the bad news.
Well.
Yeah, anyway. We like to talk about the good things. So I'm sure Chloe will be doing many wonderful things. And the good news is there are many vegan investors or people who want to invest in vegan businesses because they know it's a good thing and they know they can profit from it. And there are a number of organizations now, the Good Food Institute that's supported by Mercy for Animals, and a few other angel investing businesses that support vegan businesses. And I'm sure they'll help her out.
Absolutely. And of course, there's always the mainstays right here in New York City. People who have, I'm sure you have your list, but restaurants that have supported my work over the years, Candle Cafe and Hungawi and Franchea and Peace Foods, these are the top three I come to my mind immediately. They are all successful in their own right as vegan restaurants, and they believe in that. No one could buy them out ever.
Yeah, well, they were fortunate in starting a business that they had control of.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that you mentioned have been very generous. You know, you reminded me, and I just want to mention this because I promised I would. One of the vegan restaurants that's been around for about 40 years, mm-hmm. Angelica Kitchen, is ending.
And that's because of Hurricane Sandy. I think they never got over that.
Oh, right. They were down in the East Village and just have been having a difficult time.
Super shame.
And they were there when nobody else was. But they have a GoFundMe campaign right now. I just wanted to mention it for those of you who are familiar with Angelica Kitchen. They have a lot of debt.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to help them out, go to GoFundMe.com/AngelicaKitchen and find out about that GoFundMe campaign.
I'm gonna do something for them. I will. Speaking of Angelica, right next door is I don't know if you can put a word "very" in front of it, but they are a traditional Italian restaurant called John's, right next to Angelica. And they saw Angelica, and they decided to put a vegan menu side by side with their regular one. So it's one of my favorite places.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. And in fact, all the volunteers and all the people with Veggie Pride Parade always go there afterwards. So you need to come because
that's where everybody goes. We go to Peace Food, but maybe we'll try John's. Awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you'd be amazed.
Mm-hmm.
They have a whole menu that is just mirrors their regular one, but all the food is just simply vegan, and anybody can order from that one anytime.
Okay, that's really good news. Pamela, bravo.
Yes.
Bravo, you've done it. You've spoken to me for about a half hour, and you're on Skype, right?
I am.
Well,
I just downloaded. Shame on me. I should long ago have been
welcome
doing
to the
this.
21st century. Okay, now there's nothing stopping you.
Not at all. I would like to mention how awesome the Veggie Pride Parade is, and the moment that we make a lot of noise through the streets, and we are escorted by a crew of the NYPD, the city's finest, right, on little motorcycles.
Oh, that's sweet.
We are 100% legal. And when we come into the park, it is truly exhilarating. And everybody is
yes,
feeling...
Yes, it is. Are you going to have that Chinatown dinosaur dancing for us?
I haven't heard, no.
Oh, it's not a dinosaur. It's a dragon.
They may show up. Haven't heard anything this year.
Okay. Well, Pamela, thank you for joining me. We're almost
You're
out of time.
Welcome.
People find you at... VeggiePrideParade.org.
VeggiePrideParade.org. It's real easy, and there's all the buttons there, all the information right there.
Okay, I hope you get some rest. I know it's going to be a lot of work on Sunday, so get, energized up. I know how to do this, and I'll see you Sunday.
I can't wait.
Okay,
take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was the wonderful Pamela Rice, the author of 101 Reasons Why I'm a Vegetarian and the founder and creator of the Veggie Pride Parade here in Manhattan. And I'm Karen Hartglass, and you've been listening to It's All About Food, and you can find me at responsibleeatingandliving.com and email me at info@realmeals.org. And I really would like to hear from you at info@realmeals.org. And I have one last request before I go, and that is if you like this show, you can do a number of things. One is you could let me know, because it's always nice to know, at info@realmeals.org. Tell me what you like. And share it. Rate us on iTunes and let people know about this program, because I think there's a lot that will be beneficial to everyone. Okay, that's your assignment. And I'll talk to you real soon. Right now, have a delicious week. Bye-bye.